What's happening, everybody? Welcome back to episode 128. Hope they got that right, of Cali Brick Click. And as you already know, you probably already found this on all your podcasting platforms. So just keep finding it there. And we have the usual suspect, because Claire's back in the house.
Yeet.
We got Shy.
Yo.
And this week, very special guest to return, the dog mom himself, Mr. Soros.
Yo, yo, yo. What is going on, crew? How's it been?
Been a year since you've been on here, so I've been told.
That was quick. Yeah, hasn't it? Almost. It was after Brick World, so yeah, I guess last July, I think.
And according to when everyone's listening to this, Brick World's in a few days.
Oh yeah, yeah, Brick World. Wow, man, I'm excited. Dang, Brick World is coming up.
Mm-hmm. Are you guys nervous about this one? A little bit.
I'm a little bit anxious because there's just going to be more people, but I think less anxious than last time because at least I know what to expect. I'm really like, I have this like fear that somebody's going to come up to meet us and not realize that Emily and I give off this persona of being like these really cool people, but we're like just total awkward dorks. And they're going to meet us and they're going to be like, yo, Ross, you're so cool. And I'm going to be like, hi. And then like,
Just like that.
Gorgeous. Yeah, it's going to go down 100% like that. So keep your expectations low if you're looking to meet us.
Hey, if you do that, you'll be pleasantly surprised.
Maybe. Yeah, exactly. That's my motto to life, really. Just when it comes to me, just keep your expectations low and I might just surprise you.
But you are taller, I think, then people would think, right?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, yeah. I am. I'm a solid 6'4".
And Emily as well is also tall.
Yeah, it's really nice at the conventions, actually. You know, she's got her big poofy hair. And so I can just like look over everybody and just be like, oh, there's my wife. And
spotter. Yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty easy, actually. So it's kind of a nice thing. Airplanes, though, not for me. That's why I fly Southwest. Otherwise, I can't fit in planes. So, you know.
Wait, the Southwest planes have larger seating?
Six inches, Shy.
Really?
6 inches. Goes a long way.
I did not know that. Mm-hmm.
When you're my height, you will. You definitely notice.
Well, luckily for me, I'm only 5'9". I don't have that issue.
Yeah, and all my heights usually it's in my legs. So I'm got my knees right in front of the right in the back of the chair of the person in front of me, and I always play this passive aggressive battle when they like pull the chair back, and I'm like, oh no, my knees are stronger than your reclining.
You get like a little bump.
Yeah, no, I put my knee right in their back because I have to. It's just my knees are just there. I think it should be illegal how small those chairs are. So that's why I fly Southwest. Looking for a sponsorship.
Get me out. So yeah, Chicago's around the corner. It's crazy how fast that time flew. But in that time frame, you've had some life updates.
Yeah, just a quick little recap. Year zero, Ross. I started the YouTube channel back in the year of our Lord 2008. Originally back then, Lego YouTube was this wild hellscape of prepubescent boys such as myself. And all we did was flex our clone armies. I remember one of my videos was me green screening more clones to make it seem like I had more than at the time Lego Boy 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, who I was very envious of back then. But made a lot of stop motions and stuff. And so I kind of continued doing that from about 2008 through pretty much up to college. I kind of tried to stick with it during like my breaks in college, but it was kind of hard to. And then, you know, started getting interested in other things like girls. And I always kept up with Lego, but didn't really necessarily like buy too many sets. I remember in college, the only sets I really wanted were the Marvel sets because I was really into the, like Avengers. So in 2012, I've pretty much had every Marvel, like at least a couple sets from every wave of Marvel since it came out. And then, you know, I went to grad school. That was about when The Force Awakens came out. And so I got back into Lego Star Wars that way. Again, I was always keeping up with it, but I just never collected it because it was too expensive. Got a lot of Lego Star Wars stuff and eventually met Emily. And started kind of tricking her to get into Lego. And that was, I think, my first interview with you guys where I tricked her into Lego. And I was like, hey, you like Scooby-Doo. You're from Orlando. You like Disney World. What if I told you there's a Disney castle? And so that's how I got Emily into it. And then it was something we would kind of do. I was able to convince her to let me buy the Parisian restaurant was, I think, our first like big build we built together, which in hindsight, I didn't really think about it, but like we were like engaged and that was the one with the engagement in it. I didn't even put two and two together in that one. It's kind of funny. But yeah, cute engagement story there. And then COVID came, ran rampant and, you know, put a halt on everything. And unfortunately, Emily had lost her job. And she was just bored. And, you know, a lot of people got into or got back into Lego. And, you know, at that time she already had built her Disney World castle and she'd gotten all the Scooby sets. And I was like, well, you know how I like Lego? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, well, I really like Lego. And then I was like, I don't know. There's no like real, you know, girls or anything out in this space. And at the time there really wasn't. And, you know, is that something you'd be interested in, you know, talking about Lego to internet on the strangers, thinking that she would just be like, no, that's weird. She was like, absolutely, I can do that. And I was like, yeah, you can. And so I gave her my channel. This was in 2020. At the time, the channel had about 2,300 subscribers. And I just gave it to her because it was like, it'll be easier to start with, even if they're dead subs, it still looks cooler, you know, starting with like 2,300 subscribers. So we just kind of continued making content, finding her way that way. And eventually she kind of found her own. She started doing mostly like shopping vlogs and it kind of worked because we have a Lego store near us and a Bricks and Minifigs near us. Eventually she took it really seriously and she had another job. She left that job to be a full-time Lego YouTuber. And you can imagine how her parents felt about that. But
I'm actually curious about that.
It's funny. I think my favorite comment, and it's just a generational thing. They were just like, I don't know, YouTube sounds like a pyramid scheme. And I was like, that's no. And so I could understand how you would be hesitant towards it for sure, but I think that's just the wrong thing. So yeah, Lego YouTube's a pyramid scheme. That's the title of this video, probably. And eventually it started taking over. We moved to a house finally. We'd been saving up for a long time. And she got one of the rooms to be her office. Then eventually we made one of the other bedrooms our Lego City because we wanted a big Lego City. Eventually that bedroom changed to the master bedroom. So now our master bedroom is the Lego City. Now we just sleep in one of the normal bedrooms. Then this room was the guest room, but now it has become my office. But for a while, I just like kind of worked out in the open when I worked from home. So that's kind of where everything started going. Then eventually, Emily, she got really good at it. I think she's really good. It's funny. She's really like humble. She won't like say it, but I always like pump her up. So she kept growing and growing. And meanwhile, I've been working in my field, which is totally not a creative thing at all, just totally different. And so it's very stressful being a consultant. I didn't really realize how stressful being a consultant really was, but pretty much your client calls and says jump and you have to ask how high. And that's pretty much the whole thing. And it doesn't take long to get to know me to realize that I don't do well in that kind of situation. I don't really, I don't like having a client I have to answer to like that. And meanwhile, so it started to become this problem where like, you know, Emily would be like, oh, I'm going to Paris for a Lego influencer event. And I'd be like, oh, well, I got to run these simulations to figure out when something might potentially happen, potentially. But I'm going to stay up till 1 a.m. trying to do these calculations and break supercomputers all day. And so more and more, it felt weird, not weird, but it was like kind of sad of just me like working all day and night. And Emily's just over there like, I'm going to go live stream my Lego sets. And I was just like, that's cool.
She's like living your life that you wish.
Yeah, exactly. I was like, wow. And so like we had a running joke for a long time and I was like, wow, I work hard so she can live my dreams. Cause that's pretty much what happened. And it's not the highest paying job either. And so it took a lot for her to get to this, to a point. So, you know, it all started to come to a head. I've had some really stressful clients and really stressful projects I've been working on. And, you know, you hear people say this all the time and that, I believed it. I just didn't really focus on it much, but it's stress can really, really weigh on your physical health. And I just couldn't believe how bad it was. It was really getting, you know, I look back at it and I was like, wow, I can't believe I let it get that bad. You know, I've been in this field for about 10 years, dedicated pretty much my entire adult life to this field. And at a certain point, I was like, man, it's I think it's killing me. Like, I think it's actually killing me. So, you know, Emily and I had a sit down talk about it and was just like, money will be a little bit tough, but I think if we can, you know, work together as a team, I think we can make this work where we can both go full time as content creators. For the most part, it would be me as a support role until I can kind of get my channels up and running. So there was that, you know, there was a lot of other elements in it too. There was the biggest thing was, so this was about in February of this year. And that's when YouTube decided they were going to start paying actual money for short form. And that kind of is what changed the game completely. So I've heard it mentioned before on this podcast several times, is Emily's weird rise to short form queen. I call her that all the time. And it's
it was
funny.
A very noticed thing throughout the entire creator YouTube world.
Yeah, it was definitely bonkers. We were freaking out for sure. And I think Emily's even been on since then. But yeah, if you aren't aware of it, essentially what happened was YouTube announced that on February 1st, they were going to actually start putting money into short form content. Well, Emily had already been doing pretty successful on TikTok. And since it's just, you know, it's all short form, you just take it and then put it on Reels and you put it on YouTube. For some reason, you know, a lot of these short form things that don't always work on all three platforms, you're lucky if they work on two. Emily, man, to her credit, she understood the assignment. And when it comes to short form, she's really good at it, which is also, you know, we'll get into that too. That's also kind of a struggle we have is, but Emily's just amazing at short form. And she came to me with this idea of like, I like on TikTok how you can make a, you know, you can reply to a comment as a reel. So like you interact with your audience and you can say like, oh, you know, respond. So she had like, she made one TikTok that was like, oh, do you have an American flag in your Lego City or something? And eventually she responded as like, do I have an American flag? And then she'll go like, oh yeah, over here, this modular set came with an American flag. Here it is. And then the infamous dog poop one was, do you have dog poop in your Lego City? And that one, I don't even remember how many millions of views on shorts it has and on TikTok, but it got the attention of Kelly Clarkson. And so she actually got to go on Kelly Clarkson, and everybody who watched Kelly Clarkson that day got to see Emily point out the dog poop piece in her Lego City. And my favorite part is she didn't even use the right piece. She used the muffin piece or the cupcake topper instead. You didn't even use, there's a dog poop piece and she used them, and it's, and I was like, classic Emily, man. She knows, she's just doing her thing, she's just vibing. So I'm really proud of her for that. So YouTube popping, right? Short form comes out, YouTube Shorts. And I don't know, about 7 days, a week before February 1st, Emily's like, okay, my TikToks are doing pretty good, my Reels are doing good. That was back when Reels paid, RIP Instagram Reels. So she's like, I'm gonna start posting my shorts to YouTube strategically. We kind of learned that the algorithm doesn't really pick things up for a few days. And so she, you know, she just put it out there like that. And at the time we were actually visiting some of our friends, you might know them, in Florida. And we were going to Disney and we were talking about content. And, you know, we were talking about the short form stuff. And we were kind of at this loss where it was like, the shorts just started picking up. Like, we got home from our trip. And I remember when we were at Claire's house, it was 55,000 subscribers we had just hit. And then we went home, and then within about 5 days we hit 100,000, and then in about 2 days we hit 200,000, and then about another week we hit 300,000, and then maybe like 2 weeks after that 400,000 subscribers. Like, that's nuts. It got like, there was articles written, you know, they were like, it was interesting, Emily's agent was like, sent her a thing, was like, you're the 12th highest the highest growing subscriber or YouTube channel in the country. So she was like number 12 of all YouTube. But, and again, now that goes back into the, what's the difference between shorts and long form? And that's where the crux is on all of this. And we saw some growth come over into long form. But unfortunately it wasn't like the same thing, but it was interesting. We had seen other people, even in the Lego YouTube space, post some really successful shorts, you know, also in the multi-millions, but that just didn't garnish the same subscriber count. You know, to this day, that's still what kind of confuses us too. And I think everybody's like, how was it? You know, you always get a boost in subscribers for shorts, for sure. But the amount we got, I mean, we went like 8 times our subscriber count. It was weird. So you had that going on, 12th highest growing YouTube channel. Shorts was paying. That month we had probably, a little more than tripled our revenue just from YouTube AdSense because of shorts. And so, yeah, it went from shorts paying like $1 per short to some real money, which was kind of, I was like, whoa, that's kind of nice. And so you had that going on. I was super stressed out about everything, about work. And then I was starting to get FOMO. And it got to this point where I was like, wow, Emily's channel's popping off right now. If I don't take this opportunity to, you know, go do this with her, this chance might not come again. Like, there might not be a better chance to do this. So it got pretty stressful. The choice ended up being easier to make because the stress affected me so physically that I was actually getting sick from it. And because of that, you know, and I went to a doctor and I got all these blood tests done and they're like, yeah, man, you need to relax. And I was like, what? And you know, especially for my age, I was really surprised. And they're like, you need to chill out, man. And so that kind of almost helped justify everything in my head, because I mean, the field that I was in is very STEM heavy, you know, a lot of engineers who would be like, you know, they kind of scoff at creatives and stuff like that. So it was very like, and you know, I was guilty of that too, I'll admit, you know, when I was in that field as myself. But over time, I've definitely changed my attitude on that. It got really bad. And I decided, you know, I took like a week off and I was like, I think I need to leave. And so it was kind of hard. I mean, I love my job. I love the people I work with. I didn't really have any like, you know, issues with anybody. But it was kind of a surprise to everybody, too, that I left. I made myself pretty, you know, patting myself on the back here, but I made myself pretty invaluable to the company. I was like responsible for training a lot of people on all the systems and stuff. They were not excited for me to leave, but I think they got it. And then right after that, I was like, okay, quitting. Emily and I kind of got together, put our budget together, talked to our accountant and kind of figured out how can we do this. Gave ourselves a little bit of a cushion and got to work. And then immediately I broke my back. And then after that, I got sick. But things are fine now. And then I started being able to help Emily with a lot of things. So now I'm no longer, you know, I went 10 years of my life dedicated to like this one weirdly specific niche of like science that I did, that now I'm helping Emily with content creating. So what it really turned into, I'm a glorified IT guy at home, which I always was. It's like now I'm actually doing stuff. I have upgraded our internet, and which has been a big feat, you know, helped Emily. I got her gaming PC ready so she can upgrade her streams. I do all the background stuff for her Twitch, which, by the way, if you guys haven't seen Emily's Twitch, it's pretty nuts. It's like our favorite thing. Emily on Twitch is just the best. But yeah, just all sorts of stuff. And then we turned this room into my little studio. So that way I have my own office to work out of, instead of just working in the hallway. And so now I have all my little Lego sets back here for your viewing pleasure. And we kind of decided we wanted to take a new route when it comes to the channels. And I say channels because that includes my channels and her channels. So, you know, right now Emmasaurus is the, you know, the main YouTube channel. And that's where, you know, there's a mixture of short form, mixture of long form. We kind of laid off the live streams on there for a few reasons, but mostly because Twitch is way more fun. So I'm trying to convince Shy to just come over to Twitch, but Twitch is a pretty fun place.
it's I more can't access. I can't access my actual channel on Twitch.
That's a you problem.
I tried reaching out for help and they just won't help me. So that's why I created the other like name. And I just because of that, I'm demotivated to like do anything on Twitch.
I can't be Shy Time is my time. I can't do that.
I can't do the 1914 Shy Time is my time.
You should change it to, you should make one called Shy Time is my name. And then,
wow. But, that's actually not the best. But I will only go on Twitch if my friends are streaming on Twitch. That's all. Yeah, I won't like rummage through it. So if you guys are on there, when I see the notification pop on my phone, I'm like grudgingly like, yes, click.
with all the whippersnappers. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I really like Twitch now. It's fun. It's most of the engagement. YouTube, at the end of the day, YouTube was a long form content thing, and I could see how they like kind of transitioned to short form, but YouTube wasn't built to do live streams. And you know, for as long as Twitch has been out, those same features rolling over to YouTube, it's been like 10 years and they still haven't got those similar features over there yet. So I think Twitch definitely dominates, which makes sense because that's what the whole platform is when it comes to to live streams. So then the other problem too is Emily is queen at short form. She's really good at it. I'm very impressed with it. I can never do it. But long form, I think we've always just struggled with it. And we've come up with a few theories as to maybe why. I think the theory that I always kind of go with, and I say this is Emosaurus long form videos, they do really well. You know, in the LEGO YouTube space, I think they do really well. And we're very grateful for how well they do. You know, I'm very grateful that people want to sit there and watch us go to Target or Bricks and Minifigs and such. However, you know, she's never had a video reach 100,000 views. And in 3+ years of doing this, you know, posting at least twice a week, you know, you're kind of like, why? You know, how come short form we can get in the multi-millions, but long form we can't? And then obviously, you know, she doesn't do like super produced videos, you know, that's that whole other genre of LEGO YouTube. But, you know, in terms of just normal LEGO YouTube, it's always been interesting. And I notice it's not just her. I think, you know, there's obviously a lot of people kind of in that same boat. I also feel like a lot of the LEGO YouTubers, at least the ones that have been around for, you know, 3 or so-ish years, they've all kind of stopped growing as much. They're all still doing well, and they're all still like within, you know, their views are doing the same. They just don't grow more. And so it kind of feels like a weird stagnation point. And we were kind of feeling that ourselves too. It felt like, you know, usually we get about 20,000 views on a video to 30, 35,000 views. But it's always about that, you know, 15 to 30-ish. And again, for, you know, vlog content that's usually in LEGO store shopping and stuff like that, it's still really good. But it always just seemed like, man, how come we can't ever, you know, past that? Other people have, so it's just, you know, the audience is there. It's just interesting. So, you know, that's been a topic that we've always been talking about. You know, one of my theories is, I don't know, it's an interesting one, but sometimes I feel like people watch other YouTubers who they can relate to more. And I think at the end of the day, you know, Emily is a newer fan of LEGO, and she's also spoiler alert, she's a woman. I wonder sometimes if that's like comes to play at all. And it's like not like people being, you know, sexist or anything. It's just at the end of the day, it's like, oh, you know, you don't relate to her as much because she represents a pretty almost a double minority, right, of newer fans and women. So sometimes I wonder if there's like some underlying bias to it or not. You know, at the end of the day, things are still going pretty well. But
she also came in at a time when there was a lot of new fans. So right. The relation to it, I think you got a lot of that heat from like people who were like been around for a minute and were just hating the sake of hate. Like if we were to revert back to the Kelly Clarkson thing, like I remember like going through the comments and you can see someone like that kind of BS, and I'm like, you're not seeing the point why she's on the show. Like you're just you're categorizing her as the overall representation of the LEGO community with whatever you find yourself at. And not to say that the people who are also in the LEGO community don't deserve praise in what they are. Kelly wasn't looking for that, and her team wasn't looking for that. They found that in Emily. She represents what Kelly Clarkson and her team was looking for, and that was that. There is an audience for what, you know, Emily has. Like, you know, you just said it. You mentioned it, women and people who are new fans. And to kind of like, and at this point, Emily's not a new fan of LEGO anymore. She's been doing this.
Yeah.
We can't really say that she's a new fan anymore. No, she knows enough, if not more, because she's also behind the scenes too. So with, you know, her friends also like downloading her with everything from like the outside, and she knows stuff from the inside. Like she knows a lot about LEGO, the LEGO group, than I think most creators that would hate on her to begin with.
I have a thought that like Shai, you just kind of sparked a little bit. I don't know if you were kind of getting to this point. But there's a couple things, right? The content that Emily is producing now is only slightly different than like what she was doing a few years ago. It's just like more refined and like it is relatively similar, right? And it's a lot of like a little bit of lifestyle and then a little bit of Lego, right? And it's not really like diving into either one of those things. And the reason I think that like the short form content is so successful is because it is so light on the Lego and it is more on the like emotional reaction of specific things or like the excitement of a new set. So yeah, it's relatable to the mass audience versus the Lego community. There, that's what those millions of views are. And even something like, do I have dog poop in my Lego city, is something that like a non-Lego consumer and avid collector could enjoy. But the long form of content is not. The long form content is still content created just for the Lego community that's essentially capped out at that niche, right? So any new subscribers that are coming in or new people that are coming into the hobby, not necessarily new people that are in the hobby and that are finding her. The success is from making something more wildly like appealing. It's not necessarily like better content or more produced content or whatever, but it's like applying that like inherently basic concept of mass appeal in whatever delivery system that is.
Yeah, and it's easier on those short form because you don't have to rely on someone clicking on it. It just gets thrown in your face, and you know there's no marketing you need to put into any of your short form stuff too, right? And then yeah, definitely the mass appeal thing, and it's hard I think in long form to make a mass appeal thing that isn't hyper produced.
It doesn't have to be hyper produced. I think it's the topic of what you're talking about. So with Cheesy last week, a lot of his successful videos have to deal with Minecraft. The way he edits his videos aren't like the TD Brixes. It's not like it's not in your face. It's consumable for people like me that don't like that type of content, and like, but it has hundreds of thousands of views because it's not Lego centered based. It's
the problem with Cheesy is that, I mean, not that there's a problem with Cheesy, but like you could say that those videos have success because of Minecraft, which is like, oh
yeah, that's what I was getting at, is that
right, but the
something else to pull.
But I think that what we're thinking of right now, okay, so the people who've had hundreds of thousands of views or millions of views on these videos, right, is like, it's either Minecraft, it's either like Star Wars, it's those super highly produced, I'm just going to call them top 10s because they're like kind of a form of top 10 videos.
Chris Lego.
And the thing is like those didn't really exist, you know, like a couple years ago, right? Those guys were like doing like mock videos for a really long time that were doing well. Like TD was doing a lot of mock storytelling.
They're great. I still like them.
Stop motion. Yeah. I liked them as well, like for a really long time. Like I was always like, oh, I love how he's not just like mock building, but you know, also like adding story behind it. I just think it doesn't exist yet. You know what I mean? I wouldn't say it's like hard. I mean, it is hard because it's like, you're kind of like setting the pace and setting the trend. But I think I would do exactly like what you did before and what those people are doing. It's like, you take something that's successful outside of the Lego community, outside of the Lego space, like on other social media, like, you know, niches, and then bring that in, whatever that may be, whatever that's like, whatever that works for you, right? Those people went and brought in those like top 10 highly produced, you know, like all those mega YouTubers end up doing. It's not like TD Bricks didn't invent it. He just applied it really effectively. Mm-hmm. And Cheesy Studio didn't invent his style. He's just applying it effectively on a topic that gets clicks, you know, and is doing a good job about it. And I think there's something that exists with the skill set and the interest for Emily. Do you know what I mean? And same for you. I just don't know if someone's done it. I wouldn't be like, oh, it's harder in long form. I think it's just not done yet in the Lego space. So there's nothing to emulate. Yeah, it has to be created. Do you know what I mean?
It's a lot to think about. A lot to chew.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm just like, I'm kind of like, you know, we have a lot of conversations about like content creation, like outside of, you know, this podcast and within this podcast and whatever. And it's hard because you're always like, what is it that, you know, who's the target audience, right? And I feel like the target audience with Emmasaurus was new fans. And like, you, Emily figured that out pretty quickly. She's like, I'm a new fan. I'm going to embrace that I'm a new fan. I'm not going to, you know, try to pretend that I'm not at the beginning, you know? And then it's, you know, like a woman messing around with Lego. And like, but how that there's a cap on that, right? Unfortunately. Right. So how do you like transition out of that? How do you transition to the next thing? Like, what is interesting about Emily? You know, like what can she share?
I'll let her answer that in the next one.
Exactly. So I was going to ask,
I get like, in trouble.
No. What is like interesting to you, Ross? Like, what are you doing next? I like, what, like, and what are you bringing to like the Emmasaurus space? right now.
Yeah, so Emily Emosaurus versus Mr. Saurus, which I don't know how I got stuck with that name. I hate it. I don't hate it. I just think it's kind of lame, actually. But I guess here we are. I think somebody on a live stream referred to me as Mr. Saurus once, and then Emily was like, yeah.
It's always a term, like, for any YouTuber. You, like, for example, Greg Brickitect, Mrs. Brickitect, or
Mr. Yeah.
You know, it's always a spouse thing.
There's something inherently demeaning about it, I think, which is why you're like, oh, it's lame. But I would like do an attitude readjustment and be like, you should be so lucky that your wife's YouTube channel has done so well that you can literally quit your job and have a monetized channel within weeks. And that would not have happened if it wasn't for her. And it's
that's
like,
fair.
You are lucky.
I like to call myself Emma Saurus's Mr.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what I mean? It's like, you should kiss the ground that you're Mr. Saurus, not
also
like
on brand.
No, I just think that the Mr. part isn't the problem. It's the Saurus, I think, just sounds lame. Makes me sound like a Barney character is the problem.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. We'll take that back. It has nothing to do with me being Emily's husband. Whatever.
Not the submissive.
Totally submissive. I'm fine with it. It's just the actual Mr. Saurus just sounds dumb. Anyways.
But it's almost like the character that you are, like in the Bricks and Minifigs videos, like the goofy, that goofy side of you is, you know, that's a character name. And
yeah. And that's so that goes into me, like my new channel, Mr. Saurus. So as Claire mentioned, I started a new channel. Or it's the same channel I've had for 3 years, but I finally started posting on it. And, you know, I started off with some reviews. It was just me kind of relearning how to work with editing software, cameras, lighting, and all that stuff. That's been a trip. You know, it started off, the first video I did, I think, was a review of the Superstar Destroyer that LEGO had sent us. And then I also started doing some vlog content. And it was just, like, kind of funny because I was like, I'm just going to, like, do a behind-the-scenes vlog of Emosaurus and like what's going on in our house, you know, and me renovating the room and showing my Lego collection and stuff like that. And I was very fortunate. I think I'm about at 4,500 subscribers for starting. I think I started in the beginning of May, maybe mid-April, and just got monetized earlier this week, which feels pretty great. And I'm like, wow, all right. It took Emily 9 months. Again, like Claire says, I feel pretty grateful. You know, a lot of those people who follow us came over to me. So yeah, I am really appreciative of that. And a lot of it, you know, I think what really helps is those Bricks and Minifigs vlogs. So if you don't know, we do a lot of vlogs at our local Bricks and Minifigs. We're really tight with those guys. And we go in and we just go over all the old sets, essentially. And it's like funny because I don't know why I have all this useless knowledge of all these old Lego sets, usually pretty much because I had been into Lego since, I don't know, I was like 4. So I just look at all these Lego sets. I'm like, oh yeah, I remember that. They discontinued that color and stuff like that. And it's kind of funny because it became almost just the Ross show where we put Emily on the thumbnail, but then it's just Ross talking about all the Lego sets. Because I just happen to know a lot about them.
I don't even think it's that. I think you have, at least for over like the majority of the channel's life, so almost like, you know, the 3 years that it's been around, you've been an integral part of the face of Emosaurus. You've been more than half of it. Do you know what I mean? In the sense, like, Emily's the one, like, you know, putting in like the time and the editing and the filming and all that stuff. Obviously it wasn't like you were a supporting role, at least it didn't feel like it from like the viewer's perspective. And I think that's why the Mr. Saurus channel really was able to pop off in such a quick way. I think because it is, I hope you don't take this the wrong way, but it is an Emosaurus channel. Do you know
what
I mean?
Oh yeah. No, it absolutely is. It's I think it's even in my description. This is part of the Emosaurus channel.
Yeah. It's just and Emily's in those videos as well. She's in your videos.
Yeah.
And it's just like, it's just whoever's picked up the camera. And it's like, if Emily picked up the camera, it's on Emily's channel. And if you picked it up, it's on your channel, you know?
Yeah. And it's our own style, right? Mine is just me making dumb jokes, looking at my own Lego sets now, making fun of my clone troopers and stuff like that. And so I'm having a blast with it. It's nice. I feel like I have for years, I've always wanted to get back into YouTube since 2008, and it was always my goal to get back into it. And so now it feels nice being able to do that. I don't know. I'm really, really stoked about it. And then, so that's one of my channels. The other channel I've been working on, this was my rebrand. I was actually, I had a whole meeting with my family about trying to come up with a cool name for this because I didn't want to be Mr. Soros anymore. But then I decided I'm going to split channels early because I see that problem with a lot of YouTubers, especially the LEGO YouTubers, where they like kind of get pinned down into one thing. And they're like, man, I wish I had another channel where I can focus more. Because even in LEGO YouTube, there's still so much different types of content. And most people just want to see whatever they subscribe for, which is, you know, I think another problem that we have on Emmasaurus is we have almost too much type of content, right? We have LEGO City updates, we have vlog content, which those two I think can kind of coexist. But then, you know, when you throw land reviews into the mix, that's where we really, really struggled. So that's where we kind of moved into doing live streams or short form content about land sets. And then when it came to Star Wars and in this case, Ninjago, I started making those reviews and posting them on my channel, again, as a subsidiary of Emmasaurus. And and I've noticed that they do much better on my channel than they did when it was literally me making the review. Like, I was in the thumbnail, I did the review, and on Emily's channel, didn't do as well as when it's just on my channel, which is only a month old, which was a very kind of an interesting thing. I mean, to be fair, they are, you know, sets sent early, but so were those on Emily's channel. So it's kind of interesting how it's worked out that way. So that's kind of the meat of it with Mr. Soros. I also, you know, Claire was talking about, I like that top 10 content. The FOMO I have of that is unreal because, you know, when I started the channel in 2008, it was stop motion, which was telling story through LEGO, right? You build mocks and you tell story, but man, is it hard to do and time consuming. And back then I had no life at all, no friends, so I could do it. But unfortunately now I have a life and friends. So I can't dedicate my life to closing, locking the door and just moving minifigure legs one piece at a time anymore. Nor do I really have that interest anymore either. But I see these videos where it's the mock building and the storytelling and, you know, these cool camera edits and stuff. And sometimes, you know, they get way too hyper edited, but I like it. But sometimes they're not, you know, there's now a wide variety of that kind of storytelling and mock building now, which to me, I think it seems like that is the pinnacle of what LEGO YouTube is, you know, from a certain point of view, right? It's wow, creativity meets YouTuber, you know, in this thing. And now it's really, I like it a lot. And I just want to see it be a little bit more about the YouTuber than just about the content. I think it would be the perfect like combination of everything. And so I started a second channel that I'm still working on videos for, I'm writing scripts for, which is called Anti-Studs, or Anti-Stud rather. And I thought it was clever because I'm like, oh, so, you know, an Anti-Stud is a name in LEGO, but also it's kind of sexy. So I think that would be a fun one to have. So Anti-Stud is this channel that I have. I haven't posted any videos on it yet because I'm still really, really struggling with the idea of like making these more produced videos. I had like this huge elaborate script that I was going to, that I started making, and it was going to be like a 10 minute long video and all this stuff. And then I started there and I got like freaked out. And I was like, I think I need to start smaller. And then the other thing, you brought up Cheesy. Man, my boy Cheesy, I like that guy. Weird story about him is I never played Minecraft before. And I came across one of his old videos was about my all-time favorite original theme, Rock Raiders. And he did like a deep dive history of Rock Raiders. And I'm over here, I'm like, all hell Rock Raiders, best LEGO theme ever. Sorry, Power Miners, but I also like Rock Raiders. Both of them, I love them both. It means so much to me. And he did this whole thing about Power Miners. And so I was like, oh, wait a minute. That's the LEGO Master guy. I remember him. And then I started seeing all of his Minecraft content. Again, I'd never played Minecraft before. And I started watching his stuff. I was like, this is way cooler than the LEGO sets. My favorite mocks to build is like landscapes and nature. And seeing it in LEGO from Minecraft, you know, it's like once removed. I was like, wow, this is cool. And it's a lot harder than you would think to build like scale, block accurate Minecraft things. And so I was watching him and I was learning a lot of techniques like half plates and you know, half plate bracket pieces and how that all works. I was like, wow. So then I bought a Minecraft set and then I started playing Minecraft after that. So I did it backwards, and that's not the first time that's happened. That's also how I've gotten to Overwatch, is I got the sets first, and then I started playing the game. So I don't know. Someone at LEGO Marketing can take credit for that one, but that's when I also discovered Minecraft YouTube, or YouTube Minecrafters, or whatever they're called. Minecraft YouTubers?
Holy cow. It works.
There's a ton of viewers in that realm that dwarfs anything anyone in LEGO can do, except for maybe TD. And even then, they've done LEGO Minecraft stuff that dominates. So it's really interesting, you know. We got to meet Ryan Trahan. One of his few best videos are Minecraft-based. So that's when I kind of learned. I was like, whoa, there's something here. Minecraft, go figure, is really popular, even though it's, you know, the most popular game almost every year somehow for like 12 years. And so I got really into it, and then I started getting a bunch of the sets, and then I started getting things, and now I've been building my own mocks. And so Anti-Studs, for the most part, is going to be a LEGO Minecraft channel, is where it's going.
That's what it's going to be.
It's a combination of me like realizing, wow, there's a lot of viewership in this, and just the idea of storytelling and being able to build mocks and with LEGO, and like being able to edit stuff like that. I don't know. It just sounds like really fun. Like, I'm like, that's what I want to do. Eventually, I don't want to only have to do Minecraft or anything like that. I'd like to do Star Wars mocks and other stuff too. But I think Minecraft is a good way to kind of start and sink your teeth into. And I don't know. I'm pretty stoked about it. So that's my plans.
One day I'll play Minecraft.
One day. It's fun. It's really funny is because Sans tried to get me to play it like a year and a half ago.
Yeah,
I had this really lame excuse of like, oh, I can't get into my account. You know, sounds familiar, right?
Rude.
And so I didn't join. And then they did like this whole like Minecraft LEGO YouTuber channel or something like that. And I don't think it really went anywhere. I think someone spilled a drink on their laptop, and then that was the end of that.
Ouch. I'm like itching to find time to play video games. I'm like trying to convince.
Oh, it's killing me.
Since I had children, so almost 6 years now, zero time for video games. And that's why I'm so out of it.
On Twitch, it'll force you. No,
yeah, I don't think
I tried that. I just
I don't know. I
can't censor myself too well.
But
I'm close.
He's into it now. He wants to play Minecraft because of his friends. He wants, like, he loves Super Mario. So I'm like, oh,
is you're it right around the corner.
Is it time?
Couch co-op. Nice. Yeah, it's interesting. So, you know, Breath of the Wild was like my favorite game, and I sunk like 400 hours in that game. And now I made it a goal. I was like, I'm not going to let myself get Tears of the Kingdom until I get monetized. And I was like, that was my hard limit.
Are you talking about monetizing the other one, or are you talking about
on Mr. Soros? Okay. So I did buy it. I played it for the first time yesterday. I got about, I don't know, 45 minutes in. It's great. And then I was like, my eyes hurt and my back hurts from leaning over. And I was like, and I got so much I need to do. And I haven't played it since. And now, so I'm just like, what is happening? But I noticed the most productive I've ever been since, you know, starting this new role is when I had to bring my PC in to get swap out a part, and I didn't have my PC for the weekend, and so I couldn't game, and I did a lot. I got a lot done that weekend, and I was like, wow, man, video games are poison, and it sucks because I am a gamer, and I just am, and unapologetic about it, but video games really just suck the life force out of you, the time just
disappears.
Yeah,
before you look outside and it's dark.
Yeah, exactly.
Time suck. But I think the bigger issue is like for me, it's the physical damage. Like I'll play for like an hour and my neck and my hands and like everything.
You gotta get a gaming chair.
I'm like thinking to myself, like, that hour I should have like gone for a walk. That would have been
She went to the gym.
Yeah.
I mean,
take your Switch to the gym.
This year isn't doing anything at the gym.
Yeah. It's I gotta take my butt to the gym first. But we'll see how
that's fair.
Hey, you did pretty well in yoga.
Oh, I love yoga. Yeah. I took a course in it in college. I got an A. It's been kind of a trip.
Ultimately, now you're living your dream.
Yes, so far. Well, we got to make disposable income first. So, getting there. We're getting close to the dream.
Well, it's cool. Yeah, you get to, like, at this point now, you get to go to the trips. You get to put yourself for your audience, like for at least Emily. Like, I think with you having a separate channel, her sometimes in it, it just adds to, like, your audience availability to have more videos, like, come out. As opposed to, like, the one or two videos a week from Emily. Now there's three videos a week. I think it's a benefit. It's great, like, separating, you know, reviews from, you know, that channel. And it's great that it's also doing well for you. But what I'm really excited for at least you, is that you get to go with Emily to all these places. There's no more, like... Exciting. You know, she's at here in this country or in this state, and you're stuck. You're stuck at home.
Yeah, you know? I forgot to mention that part, but that was another big thing too. Is like, you know, I gave my 20s to this field, and you know, I was fortunate with 3 weeks vacation. You know, that's actually pretty good. That's so sad.
You were fortunate that you only gave your 20s to a job. Like, the thing is like, I do believe that, like, this is, like, still, like, a privileged thing. Like, I can hear, like, someone in their 60s or 70s right now, like, listening to this podcast being like, what the is wrong with these people? Like, do you know what I mean? Like, can you just, like, I'm just thinking, like, yeah, work sucks. Work destroys your life. That's the point of work. But obviously, like, that's a different attitude that people are trying to take with their lives. And, you know, now we have the privilege of dealing with mental health and taking care of ourselves and not having generational trauma. So hopefully this, you know, you don't turn into our parents in some form. Because you highlighted the problem early, though. But do you know what I mean, though? It's like, because I still have that thing in the back of my head being like, yeah, work sucks. Do you know? And you're like, I gave it my 20s. And it's like, it's almost like you're like, it's like those were the beautiful years of your life that you gave to a man that didn't want to, like, you know, have kids with you or something like that. Like, that's like the same tone or something, you know, like I've heard women like talk about stuff like that, but it's just your 20s. And in the whole grand scheme of your life, you just started working and you realized it didn't work out for you. And now you're working on something else. So this is like a good thing. And it's pretty early on. Mm-hmm. I think if you think about the relative, like, lifespan that you're going to have, hopefully you're healthy and you live long into your 80s and 90s, that blip of your 20s is just such a small minority of the whole lifestyle.
As Ninja would say, cold-blooded.
Hey, the 30s are so far the best years of my life.
Hey, 30s the new 20.
Well, I lost my eyesight's going, and it seemed like the day I turned 30.
Physically, yeah, I'm not the same, but as far as
I guess that's more what it is. I think I'm more bummed about physically. Stuff. I'm like, oh man, what I had hair. I was cool.
Yeah, I guess the difference between your 20s and your 30s, at least what I found, is like you have to work for it, whatever that is. Like your beauty, your health, your work, your family. It's like things don't get handed to you on a silver platter anymore. If you come from a place of privilege in general, like, I think that's the biggest difference. Yeah.
Your 30s are going to be great.
It's great.
Ross.
Take it from
people right here.
We're almost done with our 30s. Yeah, it was pretty great.
That's so true.
It was pretty great.
Wow. Thanks for bringing us back to reality there, Claire.
There it is. Well, the other thing I wanted to mention too was, like I said, I gave it my 20s, which I guess doesn't mean too much. But
no,
it was more of like I just felt like I wasn't living life. I didn't travel that often. Even to this day, I've left the country, like, I don't know if you even count it. I've been to Vancouver, Canada. So I don't know if that counts as leaving the country.
It counts.
It counts. You had a passport.
Okay. Yeah, they didn't even stamp it. So technically, I don't know. But so that's the most I've ever left the country. That, and I took like a cruise to Cancun once. I don't even know. I definitely don't think that one counts.
That one counts more than Canada.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, they you know, they sequester you in that little spot, so it's not like you really see Cancun.
No.
So yeah, I've never really left the country or anything, and I just haven't traveled that much, and I like traveling. And so that was another big thing was, you know, Emily's job entails a lot of travel, and I just get nervous, you know, I'm just like getting nervous when she's just by herself traveling. So I really want to be able to travel with her. It's like, we got to go to New York. They let me come tag along to New York for 2K games and, you know, and got to really, I don't know, dude, hang out with a bunch of other cool content creators and stuff. And I got to see New York and go to Broadway and take a picture in front of Led Zeppelin's Physical Graffiti.
Nice.
So yeah, it's been exciting. So a lot of that is like, I feel like I'm finally living, which feels pretty cool.
What a way to start it for you. Let's go to New York.
Exactly. And it's just some
content.
Beginning.
Like, yeah, I was like, wow, I just started making content a week ago and I'm already going to New York. I made it.
Thanks, Emily.
Thanks, Emily. It was funny the way like they kind of treated me. They were like, oh yeah, that's just Emily's plus one, and then by the end of the trip, they're like, "Oh, you guys are like a team."
I mean, like, yeah, I think a lot of us saw it like that. Like, you support her in a lot of ways, you know, behind the scenes, and now you're in the front too. So, with Emily helping you behind the scenes, which is good.
Yeah,
so now it's kind of a little role reverse in your channel, which is great, and I think it benefits both of you significantly. And I hope you succeed. You know, because yeah, why not? This is what you want to do. Like, this is what you wanted. You know, and you're happy. And that's the thing. Like, being happy doing your day to day is so important. So, yes. Like, money aside, like, you can make all the money you want. But, like, if you're just not happy for missing out on things, it's then you just missed out. You have all this money, but you missed out.
Yeah. You know? I mean, look, yes and no. I do think that we put a lot of weight on, like, being happy, you know what I mean, on that whole thing. Like, if you're not happy with your day to day, it's really hard. I do think that, but like, it's so much easier now. Do you know what I mean? Like, I think that I just think back on like my whole family were a bunch of immigrants, right? And like, they didn't have the choice of like picking what they wanted to do, and they worked hard so that I could have this problem, right? Of like picking what I want to do,
right?
And it's, I want to, like,
build Legos.
Yeah, and it's just like, it's kind of crazy that like that, having that attitude of being like, I should be happy with my day to day, is actually kind of hurtful more than helpful, because instead of like figuring out ways to like maneuver the realities of life, you almost become escapist with certain things. You know what I mean? And it's like,
oh, yeah, I get that. So yeah. I'll use myself as an example. I had plenty of opportunities to do what I actually wanted to do for the company that I work for currently that makes significantly more, and I get to travel and do all these things. I chose not to pursue them because I like the schedule that I can make myself right now, because I could spend all the time that I want with my children. And this time is very limited before they grow up and want to do their own thing. So I'm happy right now not pursuing more money and bettering my career, because I will never get this opportunity again.
Totally. Like, but that's a choice that like you made, right? Mm-hmm. And so like, I'm not saying it's the wrong choice, but a different choice for your kids could also be, I'm not going to see them now, but I'll set them up for their future. You know what I mean? And so like,
yeah, I get that.
That decision, I think, was a decision that was made more commonly in our previous parents. Generation.
Yeah, yeah, for our parents, for sure. Yeah, I see that. And mm-hmm. I think, yeah. And for now, I think a lot of people, at least millennials, are starting to realize that I didn't see my parents when I was 1 through 7.
Oh yeah, it sucked, but I'm happy they did. I mean, like, I wouldn't have the life I have now if my dad didn't.
Of course, but I mean, but there are some things that I wish I rather saw.
Oh, my dad has more regrets about it than I do. Yeah. My dad's the one who's like, I don't remember what meeting I was at, but I remember like missing your recital. Or he's like, he remembers like he left my mom and I like in the hospital the day I was born to go to some crappy board meeting after staying up all night. And he doesn't even remember what the meeting was about. He just remembers sitting there being like, I hate my life. And then we landed from Japan at 9 a.m. And we were taking our Uber back here. And I was thinking to myself, if I was still in my old job, I would have gone straight to the office, like from landing. Do you know what I mean? And like worked a like 12-hour day. And I did that so many times over. And it's just like, I don't think we should be living that life anymore. I don't think we should be behaving that way. But I think we can't forget it. And I think that's the most important thing. You know what I mean? It's like,
Yeah, of course. You can't be irresponsible. Yeah. I mean, the parent in me would be like, well, what are you doing to provide? That's always like priority number one, always. So when I see if you want to bring it back to YouTube, every time a parent goes, I'm going to quit my job to pursue YouTube, there's always, although I'm happy for them,
you're like
a little hesitation in my like, hold on.
You're like, why did you just say no to your health insurance for your kids?
Yeah,
like,
and that was it. That's the thought right there.
Yeah.
Health insurance. That health is insurance. Super important.
Health insurance is always the number one. Yeah. You're like, what if they get in a car accident? They have a $30,000 surgery or something.
I mean, for real. It's like so discouraging for anybody to not even just be YouTubers, just to even create their own company because of health insurance in America is just such a big limit. Right. And it's a bummer because there'd be more people. I know so many people that would rather just have their own company. For instance, I'm still not completely out of my old job per se. Mm-hmm. I started my own consulting firm and do that. And it's interesting because you get paid a lot more when you're just charging hours, but there's no health insurance and stuff.
But you get paid more because in theory you're paying for your own health insurance.
Exactly. But it's like, it's such a bummer because I think a lot of people would be willing to leave their job. Like they're stuck with their job just because of health insurance. And
of course. But I think a lot of people also don't know, like the idea of having your own company is like glamorous, but like the risk is super high. Do you know what I mean? It's just like, it certainly feels though, like content creators either have to like have a spouse that's supporting them. Like when they're starting off, if they want to go full time, they have to come from money or they have to be 17 living at home. You know, it's like, these are like the three parameters to like do content.
Oh yeah. Which one do we all fit in? I had the job in the health insurance, but now Emily has the job. But I still have
You guys are still in like the spouse situation.
Yeah. All right. So I'm just going back to what I was saying. It's not like I'm like knacking on anyone who's out there that wants to do this a full time thing. It's just, you know, like I'm in a different position than and there's a lot of people that are in different positions that are not able to just be like, I quit. No, I gotta like think about, you know, okay, so
please,
if I do
please
this,
do not quit break. Your job to be
don't do that.
Full time Lego YouTube creator. No.
but what I'm saying is like, so for me, like I have income, I have multiple sources. My wife does well. I'm in a position where I don't need to necessarily excel at this point of my career. Like I'm perfectly fine. I can do that after the stages of where my children are at or, you know, have gone. And then I can pursue other things within the company that I'm at or in, you know, within the field that I'm in. So it allows me to do this more freely than any of my previous careers because like I'm, I have time. I can make time. I'm allowed to like carve out like, hey, I'm gonna go on a convention for a week. So I'm gonna go. I can go on a trip with my boys and go ride north for some weird reason and sleep in my friend's backyard. So like that's why I personally am happy with the job that I have. Like, and I'm lucky. I'm extremely lucky with what I have. And I know it's not forever and it could disappear like this, but while I have it, I'm gonna take 100% time from it. So anyways,
I don't think there's anyone else have anything else to add to that
plug, Ross.
Mr. Soros, Anti Stud, Emma Soros, Claire's Time Is My Time, all those people.
Should we roll that music? I mean, with that being said,
all good stuff.
Stay rolling.
I'm looking forward to seeing y'all at Brick World.
See you in a couple days. Jeez. Oh, great. Good job, guys.
You did it. I feel bad. I think I just talked that whole hour.
It's fine. I prefer that.